about what you're doing. And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies.
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams
is on.
Absolutely. Yes. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm back here live and in color on the Monday night edition of the program. And it's good to be back after having a four-day weekend with the holiday weekend. However, I wish it were 4 weeks. Well, anyway, reality has a way of hitting home, doesn't it? And I thank RBN for continuing to broadcast our programs, of course. Friday Night Edition was a great rebroadcast of the Larry Nichols interview. And this week we have some, of course, as always, interesting people. Tonight I am very blessed to be able to welcome to the microphones someone who has been here before a few times, and he is certainly one of the most intellectual, one of the most learned individuals that I have ever had the pleasure of meeting. And, of course, I met him through the Barnes Review historical publication, as well as the American Free Press a number of years ago in D.C. And he is none other than M. Raphael Johnson. I call him Matt Johnson, Ph.D., and he has a website, which, as many of you probably don't know, and it's very simple to get to navigate to. It is Russ, R-U-S, Journal, one word, .com. And you will see the American Journal of Russian and Slavic Studies. So he'll be with us for at least an hour, hopefully maybe a little bit more. And we welcome your calls on the subjects that we're dealing with. Do we have him yet? Do we have him?
Right.
Do we have him? Mike? He is? All right. Very good. I couldn't tell. I'm sorry. Let me say hello to M. Raphael Johnson, Ph.D. Hello, Matt.
You flatter me, Rick. I appreciate you having me on again.
Well, it's always my pleasure. And as I said in introducing you, you are certainly one of the intellectual giants of this age in which we live. And we need to hear more from people like yourselves on the airwaves that are cluttered up with so much, unfortunately, disinformation and misinformation about the world, history, and what has transpired in our own time, particularly. So it's good to have you back, and I know you can only probably stay an hour or so, so we'll get right into the subject matter that is your main expertise, and that is dealing with Russia and the Slavic countries, Europe, Eastern Europe, and so forth, right?
Absolutely, Rick. Yeah, for many years now.
And you, of course, note that there is, as you know, today, much going on in Europe, and the international bankster gangsters are working diligently, I believe anyway, to do what they are best at doing, creating war and depression and economic destruction, out of which emerges another world order. And Europe, I believe, now is central to that, as well as the Middle East and the United States and China, for that matter. And you write about all of these things on your website. So when we come back, I will begin with the first question or two, and we'll invite callers that have a question for you. Matt Johnson, my guest, right here on Uncensored Radio Free America. I'm Rick Adams, Radio Avenger.
Thank you.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
Do you have a high electric bill? Do you use an electric company that just provides you expensive electricity? Not anymore. Visit www.energy-swap.com and take advantage of a new way to save on your monthly energy bill. Allow Energy Swap to switch your provider and receive the same reliable service and the best rewards program in the industry. Save up to 20% on your electric bill. Rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. No cost to switch. Flat rate plans. Reward program. What more could you ask for? A free gift. Try Energy Swap and receive a free getaway for two. Sign up today. 888-238-6397. That's 888-238-6397. Visit our website, www.energy-swap.com, and use the tool generator to calculate how much you can save on your monthly energy bill. 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
Back now, yes, indeed, with our guest, Matt Johnson. And, Matt, let me ask you, first of all, on your website, I know you deal with these subjects of what's going on in the Balkans and what's going on in Russia, you know, the Soviet Empire, whatever we know it as today, whatever it's called. The fact is that we have a period, I believe, in my opinion, in Europe of a turbulence that has spanned the millennia. And there has never really been a peace in Europe going back as far back as I can imagine in history. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely, yes. There are very different groups of people living there, and I'm not so certain that I believe in this chimera of a united or unified Europe. I don't believe it's possible.
So for that reason, you think that would be impossible, right?
Yeah, ethnically, religiously, linguistically, you know, the continent is largely imaginary.
What about the idea that Hitler tried to do just that, that he tried to have a fortress in Europe and unite Europe?
Well, he had to invade 11 neutral countries in order to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
He took possible allies and turned them into enemies,
right.
Particularly in the Slavic realm.
And did was he forced to do that, though, or did he do that because that was his goal?
Probably a little bit of both. I think that's a very difficult question.
Yeah.
But he wanted at least a Western Europe completely under his control.
Right.
And Eastern Europe was essentially going to be, particularly at least according to Himmler, Russia was going to be a place of the breadbasket of Europe run by slave labor.
Mm-hmm.
I find Hitler, as a Slavist and a Slavophile, I find Hitler very difficult to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
And if he was serious about fighting Marxism, his best allies were the Slavs, and yet he did nothing but particularly people like Frank and Kahn and these other guys who he used to run Alfred Rosenberg. Alienated all the anti-communist Slavic elements he came across.
Quite a few Jews in Hitler's government, and it was 150,000 who actually ran the government on his behalf?
Well, I've heard that. There's a couple of books out on that topic.
Exactly.
I'm not really sure of what to make of it. It seems that statistically you would have at least a few who made their way to the top echelons,
mm-hmm.
but I'm certainly not an expert in that area at all.
Well, you know that we've often fallen back on some of the books that have been written, about Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. Professor, what was his name? Sutton, I believe. Anthony Sutton, who was a friend of yours, too, I believe, right? He had written on that very subject, and particularly the fact that the international banksters were able to set up their interesting dialectic in Europe, and how Russia, for instance, had become a pivotal key player with Britain looking at a balance of power. And, of course, that didn't work out too well for Eastern Europe, as you know, after the end of World War II and Churchill's reign. But I bring all of this up because Serbia and the Serbian Empire really go back centuries. And on your website, you have a most fascinating article by Neville Forbes of Oxford. And it's entitled The Rise and Fall of the Serbian Empire and the Extinction of Serbian Independence, 1168 to 1496. That is a fascinating article.
Well, that's a very rare. It's a chapter in a much larger book. I also have a book out on the medieval Serbian state.
Right.
It was a society relatively unique for its time. The closest that I ever really came to finding the medieval Serbian organization is in early medieval Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
It was a highly libertarian nationalist society.
Mm-hmm.
It was a society made up of self-sufficient farmsteads called the Zadruga, and the all political offices at that level were elective. They had jury trials. They even had jury nullification. And in fact, the strongest of all the Serbian emperors, Stepan Dušan, made it very clear that it's possible for a peasant to sue him in court if there's an issue concerning crown lands or something like that. It was an amazing society. And the entire Serbian ethos from that era to now has been one of resistance, a specifically ethnic and Christian, Orthodox in this case, resistance movement. That's been their entire existence, has been a tiny group of people in one of the roughest neighborhoods in the history of civilization. And they've developed this mentality, and to use Serbia as a test case for post-Cold War attacks on countries, post-Cold War occupations of countries, Serbia was one of the first test cases. If they could crack that nut, then they would do fine. And this is why Clinton and Madeleine Albright and Cohen and that bunch,
mm-hmm.
on the Republican side, John McCain, advocated the destruction and military occupation of Serbia.
Mm-hmm.
It was a test case insofar as the New World Order, the development of these institutions are concerned. And
I don't doubt that at all. Don't doubt it whatsoever. Having read the Jewish Telegraphic Agency at the time and what they were advocating, you know, it was all being executed by the Clintons under his administration. As you point out, Secretary of State Albright and the Secretary of Defense Cohen and others, of course, were working for that goal and to destroy any semblance of true nationalism as opposed to internationalism. And really, when you come right down to it, this whole New World Order thing is just that, isn't it? I mean, in my view, maybe you'll differ with me, but it's nationalism versus internationalism. And that largely is what the debate and what the war is all about.
No, it's very rare I disagree with you on something, Rick, and this isn't one of those times. That's exactly right. Internationalism is nothing more than the creation of a single trading space with one currency, one government, one set of regulations, where the corporations of the world can completely dominate the globe, and wages and regulations will be forced to their lowest possible level. That's what the New World Order is about. That's what the attack on nationalism and religion is. They need zombies. They need people hooked up to the television, and they certainly can't be listening to you.
Or you, for that matter. Well, that's exactly where we are today. Isn't it interesting? They create these supernatural elitists are able to create capitalism on the one hand and communism on the other and use that dialectic to serve their goal of creating this new world order. I mean, that's exactly what they've done with China and the slave population. That's what they're doing with Mexico. That's what they're doing with us and how the middle class in America today. No one, I don't think Hussein would deny, the middle class is rapidly doomed to extinction in America if this new world order is to be complete. And all you have to do is look at the gas, the oil, and the gasoline prices, look at the cost of energy, look at what the dollar is doing, and you can see, I think, very clearly the pieces of the puzzle coming together in Red China and slavery and the camps that are there and the multinational corporations that are behind the scenes working to implement the New World Order. You see, we're caught right smack in the middle of all of this, Matt, and anyone who can't see it has to be pretty blind, in my opinion.
Well, I think you're right about that. I guess maybe one area of disagreement we might have is that I don't romanticize the middle class. They're a prop to the system, and they're in this hole of debt due to their own irresponsibility, their inability to keep their credit cards in their wallets, and they're the ones who are supporting Walmart and everything else, and can't wait to bomb Iran and everything else, these middle-class Republicans. I'm not so sure that's the solution to the problem. But you're right about something very important, is that you have to think dialectically. You can't think in a linear, what is a more common sense linear fashion. The system operates by creating false opposition, creating leaders that represent the right wing of the system, leaders representing the left wing of the system, same goal from different areas. You think of these things dialectically, it makes a heck of a lot more sense of the world system than thinking in a simple linear fashion.
Exactly, and going back to the tragedies of of previous world wars and the American involvement, we look back and see now how the boogeyman of Nazism was used to advance the straw man of communism, and then of course we had the new war of the Soviet East and the American West, and we're the good guys and they're the bad guys again, all over again, chasing them around the globe. And of course, as you know, that was like a mulberry bush, a never-ending circle, never-ending wars, never-ending brush fires, you know, never-ending sellouts and treason, as we saw with Vietnam and Henry Kissinger. And the same cast of characters always seems to rise to the top. And looking back on it now, Matt, I can honestly say that I think I was taken in by it myself for some time, thinking in terms of that box, that paradigm. But thank goodness I saw the light and the bigger picture. thank you for making that possible, too. All right, we will be back. More, I want to ask you about Russia and Europe today, and we'll take callers. Stay tuned. Matt Johnson, my guest. I'm Rick Adams on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Have you been at the front?
Front? What front?
Why, the war, of course.
What war?
Good. Heavens. You mean you don't know we've been at war with Germany since 1914?
Not hearing anything. Okay, we're back, right? Very good. Here we are. We're back now with Matt Johnson of the American Journal of Russian and Slavic Studies. You can go to it at russjournal.com. And Matt, we have a bunch of callers, but I just want to ask you briefly, what is your assessment of what is going on now on the world stage between Putin and his external adversaries? Not his internal, but his external adversaries who are playing the role now of the Bushes and the Cheneys and the others who are representative of the global elite.
Well, I think the fight against the New World Order right now is being waged in Moscow primarily. I think Putin was very much unexpected in terms of what he was going to do. His promotion of national and ethnic interests and the creation of an alliance with Venezuela, to some extent China, and of course Belarus. Belarus is very small, but is very advanced technologically. I think that his jailing of the oligarchs, his recognition of Hamas in Palestine. These are major moves that that were not expected. And he is one of the most popular politicians in Europe right now, in the world, in fact, with tremendously high popularity ratings. And pretty much whoever he decides his successor is going to be elected. So that's where the attack from the New World Order is coming. And I think Putin is somebody that they thought that they could trust. And frankly, he's turned their back on them. And that's why you cannot open a newspaper today without some kind of an attack on him and his policies. He double-crossed them. And it's good for Russia. I think it's good for any nationalist because he is openly advocating a decentralized system of global rule, a decentralized system where nations and peoples and religions should be autonomous. And that's pretty much this entire third way, this whole non-aligned movement that the Russian, Belarus, and Venezuela are making very clear. Really, as of right now, it's the only bright spot on the international stage.
Isn't it ironic that the United States is going down when these other nations, of course, are emerging stronger now than ever before, and we economically, even militarily, are taxed to the limit, and this war in Iraq has been the fertile ground of the neocons that have managed to take total control of this administration. And I'm not one that doesn't believe they have not had control all along, but here they have solidified in this administration their control and their rulership, if you will, on behalf of the global Zionist elite. And now America is going down in every sense of that word because of it, in my opinion. Let's take some calls, though. 800-313-9443 is our number. 800-313-9443 for Matt Johnson, our guest. And we will start with Lance in Texas. Is that right, Lance? Hello, is that you, Lance?
It's me.
Good, hey, you're Rick. On the air with Matt Johnson.
Hey, Matt. My question goes back to World War II. I mean, I'm sorry, the Civil War, or the War for States' Rights, more properly stated. I had read about 4 years ago that the Tsar had sided with the South and that...
The Tsar of Russia.
The Tsars of Russia? Actually sent the Russian fleet to blockade the port of New York from getting more arms from Europe as the Europeans were blockading the South from getting anything. Is there... Can he clarify that for me?
Okay.
Is that right?
What do you know about that, Matt?
Oh, he said it right, except he had a slip of the tongue. The Tsar Alexander II supported the North.
Okay. Can he elaborate on that?
No. Everything else you said was fine. No, you have it right. I believe that the relations between Alexander II and even the founding generation in America in the declining years was very good. And his predecessor, Alexander I, was a very close correspondent with Thomas Jefferson. And in fact, the correspondence between Alexander I and Thomas Jefferson is very interesting. Alexander II felt a certain connection with the Union, partially because the French under Napoleon III were leaning towards the South, and Russia and France at the time were opponents. That was going to change later on. But sending of the Russian fleet to the United States is an outgrowth of far more complex European diplomacy concerning Russia, Great Britain, and France. That diplomacy is ultimately going to lead to World War One. But, yeah, this is something that when I go on the radio, a lot of people are very interested in.
Sure.
And people like Abraham Lincoln were very thankful and really believe that the Tsar's efforts helped the North win the war.
Hey, Lance, we've got to take a break. If you want to come back with another further question, you may, but let's take that break now. We'll be right back with Matt Johnson, my guest, and we'll do that in 3 minutes. I'm Rick Adams, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Do you have a high electric bill? Do you use an electric company that just provides you expensive electricity? Not anymore. Visit www.energy-swap.com and take advantage of a new way to save on your monthly energy bill. Allow Energy Swap to switch your provider and receive the same reliable service and the best rewards program in the industry. Save up to 20% on your electric bill. Rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. No cost to switch. Flat rate plans. Reward program. What more could you ask for? A free gift. Try Energy Swap and receive a free getaway for two. Sign up today. 888-238-6397. That's 888-238-6397. Visit our website, www.energy-swap.com, and use the tool generator to calculate how much you can save on your monthly energy bill. 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
Attention RBN listeners who suffer from excruciating joint pain. If you are interested in suppressed but amazingly effective traditional arthritis remedies, this will be the single most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. Recently, a scientist who specializes in ancient medicine has discovered a 3,000-year-old arthritis remedy that has been proven in studies to not only relieve joint pain and inflammation, but also to rebuild damaged cartilage as well. And the amazing thing is just how fast it works. In fact, relief for me came in less than a week. Now, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made for this ancient remedy. However, it is still legal to own it, and right now a small amount is available to our listeners. Keep in mind, shipments get filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you take immediate action by going to www.321relief.com. And the best part? RBN listeners pay absolutely nothing today. Simply go to 321relief.com. That's www.321relief.com, or call 815-259-4555. For details.
Setting up our businesses, we didn't pay enough attention to what was going on around us. We allowed a bunch of thieves and murderers to get control.
And we are back now with our guest, Dr. M. Raphael Johnson. I call him Matt Johnson. And, of course, he is a great resource on history as well as current events, as you can hear. Let me get back to our caller, Lance. Lance, did Matt answer your question to your satisfaction?
Yes, sir, he did. But just a follow-up real
sure.
quick. He's right. I meant the North. But... okay. The thing is that the Tsar Nicholas I freed the serfs, as I understand it, in around 1865-1866, and this served to tick off the international bankers, which their retribution, as I understand it, came later in the slaughter of Nicholas II and his whole family and the whole Russian Revolution. Is that correct?
All right, we'll let him answer that, and then we'll move along. Yes, Matt?
Lance has some excellent questions. Nicholas I, who reigned during the Crimean War just prior to Alexander II, freed the serfs that were under state control. Alexander II, in 1861, freed serfs that were under private control. But what that did was slowly but surely create a very powerful, not just land ownership by peasants in a communal setting, which they had been used to, but also in the beginning of the 20th century, a powerful agricultural middle class that was very quickly propelling Russia to go beyond Western Europe in terms of production. Nicholas II was murdered for a lot of reasons. Lance's instincts are right in saying that these are essentially financial. This is a way that the British viewed Russia prior to World War I was as a destabilizing element, a challenge to British hegemony from Central Asia to Turkey. And then the last straw, when they found oil in the Baku region in the extreme south of the country, that was pretty much the last straw. But my particular view is that the murder of Nicholas II and the overthrow of the royal government had more to do with World War I and German activities on Russian territory at the time. Mm-hmm. The revolutionary movement during the war was financed directly by Kaiser Wilhelm. And in fact, they were paid a half a mark a day to go on strike amongst the workers in St. Petersburg. Mm-hmm. So there's a long-term view and a short-term view. The long-term view was British interests. The short-term view was German interests. That's my view of the matter anyway.
Very good. Thank you for the call. We have to move along now.
Hey, thanks,
and we'll take another call from Ernie in Virginia now. Hello, Ernie.
Good evening, Rick, and good evening, Matt. Enjoying the discussion and very accurate from both you, Rick and Matt, and I wanted to talk about the Bilderberg meeting at the end of May and early June, but then as I was listening to the conversation, and I know the Bilderberg organization is upset with the lack of progress from the North American Union and Europe not being totally integrated in the discussion about the referendum, but what comes into my mind, because of our monetary problems, economic problems, the potential for a worldwide recession with the dollar collapsing, do we have at the moment two major hotspots in Eastern Europe? One, Kosovo, independence for Kosovo from Serbia, or the putting the administration's missile defense system in Eastern Europe. My question to you, Matt, which one represents the highest risk scenario to the world right now?
Great question.
It is an excellent question. I think the answer to it would depend on who Putin's successor is going to be. In both cases, southern Serbia as well as the missile shield on the eastern borders of NATO concern Russia directly. Russia staked a lot on making sure that Kosovo will not be detached. And then Putin changes his mind and says, well, the problems in North Ossetia and these other places have to be attached to the Kosovo question. If my view at the moment is that the defense minister, General Ivashov, is going to be Putin's successor, of everybody in that cabinet, he is the most militant in terms of his refusal to cooperate with NATO. If he is going to be Putin's successor, or even very close to the whatever Putin's next administration is going to be, that can very easily lead to the brink of World War III. I don't think Kosovo has that kind of explosive flotsam coming from it. The big thing about Kosovo is that the Albanian movement supports itself almost exclusively by drugs and prostitution. And, you know, if you live in Belgium, you live in England, you know, pretty much Albanian, this is pretty much synonymous with gunrunner and pimp. As far as southeastern Europe is concerned. So, but as far as immediate punch, there's no doubt that the missile shield is highly destabilizing and depending on who comes after Putin can be a severe problem.
So you think that might be the hot spot right there?
I think it is the major hot spot, but the our continued aggression and arrogance towards the world with our foreign policy, I think will invite an attack at some point. Now, do you feel that given the policy moves by the administration in recent years, that we're trying to invite an attack on our country and start World War III ahead of the schedule or the curve?
You know, when you read about Bush's policies, it seems that a normal, rational person would have to answer yes.
Right. I mean, it's almost madness to watch this. And I'm saying to myself, you know, well, here we are. We're talking about all these bills and the Shut Up Americans and this Senate Bill 1959 and all these attacks on the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, and all of that's going on. At the same time, we've got this sable rattling and this meeting in Annapolis today and what's going to come out of that, little or nothing. But one last question. Where does Turkey stand in this? At the Bilderberg meeting, I thought they were seeking admission into the European Union. Where is Turkey going to end up? What side?
That's a very good question. It seems that Washington wants to lean towards the Kurdish national movement. Washington has gone back and forth on the Kurdish question. You know, as far as NATO is concerned, Turkey has been an outsider for a very long time, primarily because of the war with Greece. And their unrecognized government in Cyprus, or part of Cyprus.
Mm-hmm.
The Kurds are, I think, slowly but surely coming under the American wing. If that's the case, then you know, Turkey's attempt to be a part of Europe is over. As you know, they've declared all-out war on not just the PKK, but all the other groups operating in that particular area, overlapping with Turkey and Syria and Iraq. Turkey is extremely agitated, and if anything, that has harmed their attempt to become part of Europe. I'm not sure that that's going to happen. But again, future elections are going to prove that, and if anything, this may make the Islamic Party stronger in Turkey. I mean, they're popular enough already. If this kind of agitation might push them over the edge and give them a majority, which really is a nightmare scenario for the U.S. as well as for Israel.
Right, but my last point in this discussion is, given our severe economic and financial straits and the downfall of the dollar and the potential loss of its key reserve currency status, more and more every day people are walking away from the dollar. Will this country be so foolish to attack Iran? And what's your last point on that?
All right. Excellent. Thank you, Ernie.
Thank you.
Yeah, Ernie's a smart guy. There's no doubt. And he's aware. I think he knows what the answer is. Ernie knows that the answer is yes. Ernie knows that and most of our listeners, any rational person knows that at the very least an attack on Iran is going to happen. It's something to divert attention. It's even possibly a way to revitalize certain sectors of the economy.
And what will Putin's response and Red China's response to that be?
You know, their best response from their point of view is to dump their dollar reserves that they have left.
Mm-hmm.
China has the ultimate weapon, and that is billions of dollars that, frankly, they don't trust anymore. Given Russia's major trade surplus, which they've been running since Putin has been around, the fact is that they have tons of dollars as well. George Bush and the John McCains of the world, the Congressman Shimkus and these characters, frankly, I don't think they're subtle enough to get these things. All they recognize is force and violence, and that's how liberalism is going to be promoted around the world. And I think they will do something as irrational, even conceivably irrational, as using sea-based nuclear weapons against Iran. Russia and China, of course, are slightly more complicated, though it seems to me that their weapon is the dollar. And Ernie is dead right in mentioning that it is the ultimate weapon in the 21st century.
It's a multi-pronged attack and a very complex picture, and it could change at any moment, but there's no doubt about it. What you've just said and what Ernie has just laid out are all too real scenarios. Let's take a call from Canada next, I think. He's been waiting a while, and that is Warren in Canada. You're on with Matt Johnson, my guest.
Hi, thanks. I was just looking into the start of World War One recently, and of course it was some Serbian separatist group that supposedly assassinated the Duke.
Mm-hmm.
But Henry Morgenthau put out a book, and he said other things. What are your comments on all that?
Well, who was Henry Morgenthau? I'll let Matt tell us that one. People who don't know, the infamous Morgenthau.
Well, let me first of all deal with the first part of his question. I don't think there's a lot of professional historians out there who are going to buy the idea that the murder of the Archduke by Gavrilo started World War One. I don't believe that's the case. I mean, even if that was a precipitating factor, Wilhelm II made it very clear that the ultimatum sent from Vienna to Belgrade was fully accepted by the Serbs.
Mm-hmm.
The battle itself is over Bosnia, which was absorbed into the Austrian Empire, which caused riots all over the Slavic-speaking world. Princip, if anything, was a convenient excuse to start a war. Wilhelm II also was at the back of General Konrad, who was ahead of the army at the time. Franz Joseph, the emperor, was really very elderly and if anything, was less enthusiastic about war. And the Germans said, you know, if you don't invade Serbia, the fact is that the Russians and the British are going to think that you're weak. And Kaiser Wilhelm really began to prod General Konrad. And, you know, the funny thing about the start of World War One is that the elements from England to Russia, to Austria to Germany, they all had freely elected parliaments in 1914. It was the parliaments that were screaming for war. The monarchs, Franz Joseph, Wilhelm II, Nicholas II, they were the ones who didn't want the war. And it was the parliaments that, the elected parliaments that demanded quick action, both in terms of destroying Serbia and as well as any kind of retaliatory measures. That, in my opinion, far more than anything that, you know, the famous banker Morgenthau and his control over the American and the British system could, you know, I mean, I'm not saying he wasn't powerful, but there are forces that even went out of his control.
And he was quite a megalomaniac. There's no doubt about that.
That's right.
Warren, did that answer your question on the Morgenthau role?
Well, I'm talking about Henry Morgenthau, the United States ambassador to the Ottoman Empire in Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a book, and he said that Germany knew there was no real reason. They decided to go to war way before. And Wilhelm II talked to the bankers, and he gave them like 7-10 days to tie up, sell all their stuff, you know, so it can't be seized overseas. And as he heard about that, and another thing is in Wikipedia, they have a thing on Henry Morgenthau, and they try and discredit him, saying it's all bunk. And it sounds kind of true to me.
So what is your particular consensus? What is your conclusion?
I kind of believe what Henry Morgenthau said, that the Germans were hell-bent for war before anybody even thought about it. And Wilhelm told the bankers, get ready, we're going to war.
Now, Matt, your response to that?
Well,
again?
You know, whenever the bankers are involved, I always like to lean towards their role in things. Morgenthau was in a position to know because it was the Germans who led the Turkish army during the Balkan War of 1912. So Germany, as well as Great Britain, was heavily involved in artificially maintaining Turkish power. But after the assassination of Franz Ferdinand, who, by the way, was very pro-Slavic, And in fact, you know, the only place where he wasn't mourned was in Vienna. He was very pro-Slavic. He's about the last person who you would want to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
But Wilhelm II's quote is that it seems that all reason for war has been eliminated with Serbia's basic acceptance of this, you know, what was a very, very harsh ultimatum. I don't know. I question the banker's role only in that I'm not so certain that Wilhelm II really believed that Vienna was as strong as his high command was saying they were. Everyone knew that they had severe ethnic problems, they had religious problems, and they had severe, they're one of the most backward economies in all of Europe. They had long since been surpassed by the Russians. If he is right, if Morgenthau's memoirs are correct, then Wilhelm II made a very ridiculous error, one that I'm not sure I want to impute to him necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I understand. All right. Thank you for the call from Canada, Warren. I appreciate that very much. We're up against the clock, and time is rapidly dwindling. You can only stay an hour, right, Matt?
Yeah, unfortunately, Rick, that's the case.
Okay,
yeah.
Because I know you're a very busy man, and we don't want to intrude upon more time. But we will take another call or two if we can squeeze them in when we return in the next 3 minutes with more Uncensored Radio Free America. Only here at the Republic Broadcasting Network, Rick Adams, your radio avenger, with Matt Johnson, my guest. The American Journal of Russian and Slavic Studies is what we are concentrating on. Be right back.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
The Berkeylight's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylight, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeylight is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeylight, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special. Pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special. And your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
Have you been at the front?
Front? What front?
Why, the war, of course.
What war?
Good heavens. You mean you don't know we've been at war with Germany since 1914?
And we are still at war now, ladies and gentlemen, and we're with M. Raphael Johnson, Dr. Matt Johnson, and his website is Russ Journal. That's RUSJournal.com. Let's see if we can squeeze in one more quick call, and that is from Joe. Hello there, Joe. Hello, you're on with Matt Johnson. Can we find him? Where's Joe?
Rick?
Yes, you're on the air now. Go ahead, quickly.
Well, I was kind of unprepared here. But,
do you have a question for Matt?
I would like to mention to Matt that the Queen of England has a husband by the name of Romanov, and he is related to the Romanovs, of course, Nicholas and Alexandria. Could you comment on that relationship? And do you think that that's prophetic of the joining of the the House of Brass, iron, and the House of Clay, which would be the Adamic people, with the House of Iron, which would be the Russian people, to be the feet, if you will, of the one world global system.
Matt, can you tackle that quickly?
The Russian and English royal houses have been related for a very long time, pretty much along with everyone else in Europe. Yaroslav the Wise in the Middle Ages had married at least one daughter to the King of England. Alexandra is the granddaughter of Queen Elizabeth. So there's nothing odd or strange about any of that. They're all generally related to each other. Wilhelm II, of course, was Nicholas II's first cousin. There is no, I know of no notion of prophecy here. Being an Orthodox man myself, I generally believe that the true faith is preserved only amongst the Orthodox, and therefore I'm going to take the Russian monarchy more seriously. I know you don't accept that, but so we're obviously going to differ on the prophecy part of things.
Mm-hmm.
Although I do accept the idea that many Western European peoples are descended from the original Israelites, I have no difficulty with that. I think the historical record is very clear in that regard. But as far as our understanding of prophecy, I think we're going to be very far apart.
Okay. I just wanted to see what you thought on that. I was pulling from Daniel chapter 2, of course.
Mm-hmm.
That setting up of that the image with the feet of iron and clay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That were holding up that image.
Sure.
Which would be the image of the end times also.
Yeah,
all the countries joining together.
Yeah, that's something I agree with you on. I think Daniel being a prophetic book is very important. My only problem is, we have a theological difference as to where Israel is, not just so much in terms of blood, but in terms of faith. But the blood relations, say, between the English and the Irish and the initial Hebrews having left North Africa rather than go across the desert, that's a separate issue, and there's no doubt in my mind that tribe of Dan settled Ireland and gave the name of Tuatha Dé Danann to the initial civilized inhabitants of the island. Yeah, I have no difficulty with that.
Well, hey, I know we're out of time. You have to leave. Thank you very much for the call, Joe. Thank you, Matt Johnson.
Thanks.
You once again have opened up a Pandora of knowledge, and I appreciate your time. Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you, Rick. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. We'll be back. Hour number 2, open lines. I'm Rick Adams.